Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some stories don't begin with a haunting. They begin with a fracture. A moment when something inside you slips just enough that the world never fits together the same way again. For her, that moment happened long before she understood anything about spirits or intuition or the strange thin veil between this world and whatever hums beneath it. She was 4.5 years old when the car accident happened, 4.5 when her small body was lifted out of twisted metal and rushed into a hospital, 4.5 when she spent days in a coma, days that no one could fully explain afterward. People don't often talk about what happens to a child's mind when it's forced to drift between life and something beyond it. But when she finally woke up, the world didn't feel quite the same. And neither did she. At 12, she began noticing the first cracks in reality. Not shadows or voices, those would come later, but premonitions. Moments where time seemed to pause, like someone was holding the world still for her, whispering what came next. She remembers one of the first times, clearly. She had argued with a girl in her class, nothing serious, just the kind of petty fights kids have. They walked side by side down the hallway afterward, not speaking, both stewing in their own quiet anger. And then the hallway froze, not literally, but in her mind, everything just stopped. The girl turned, hugged her, apologized. It lasted just a second, like a flash. And the moment it ended, she snapped back into reality, where the exact same scene played out in real time. Another time, she dreamed two of her friends got into serious trouble, something big enough to ruin their school year. She woke up unsettled, unsure why the dream felt so real. And the next day it happened, exactly as she'd seen it. She didn't ask for this. She didn't want to know what was coming. But something in her understood the world a little too well. And there were stranger memories, too, darker ones that surfaced as she grew older. She remembered being 4 years old around the time of the accident and shouting curses at God. Not childish words, not things a small child should even know. Words filled with fury she couldn't explain. Her parents never talked about that. Maybe they didn't hear it, maybe they didn't want to. But she remembered. As she got older, something else began following her, not in dreams, not in visions, in the quiet corners of her home. When she was 13, she could feel it most clearly, a presence that pressed against her skin, brushed her hair, touched her feet while she lay on the couch half asleep. One night, she felt something nudge her foot. She assumed it was her dog who always rubbed against her like a cat whenever she wanted attention. She murmured, half asleep, "Not now, I'm too tired to play." But when she rolled over, nothing was there. No dog, no movement, no shadow. Her dog was asleep in the kitchen, and slowly, the apartment stopped feeling like home. It felt crowded, like someone else lived there with her, someone she couldn't see. Sometimes the sensation was so heavy, so unsettling, that she delayed coming home on purpose, lingering outside in the evening air, just to avoid stepping back inside. One day, desperate and fed up with the fear, she tried to reach out to it. She made an improvised Ouija board, just letters and numbers scribbled on a piece of paper. She didn't know what she was doing, didn't understand what she was inviting. She just wanted answers, wanted control, wanted something other than dread. Nothing happened that day. But she had no idea what she had stirred awake. 5 years ago, the family moved. New address, new walls, new hopes that the heaviness would stay behind. She told her parents everything she'd been feeling, everything she'd been experiencing. They didn't believe her. They were religious, yes, but not the kind of religious that leaves room for ghosts or premonitions or presences that make the air run cold. "Things like that don't happen to people like us," they said. But things did happen, and they were only getting worse. 2 years ago, she tried another Ouija session, this time with a school friend. Another homemade board. Another attempt at answers. It didn't move. Nothing spelled itself out. They laughed it off, but the house didn't. Within days, everything spiraled. Doors slammed when no windows were open. Shadows darted at the edge of her vision. The air behind her grew cold, without warning. Her bed creaked at night, not with the shifting of wood, but with the weight of something sitting on it. She could feel someone leaning over her in the dark, their breathless presence hovering just inches from her face. The fear became unbearable. She couldn't sleep alone. She curled beside her mother at night, hoping the presence wouldn't follow her there. And then came the nightmares, terrifying visions where something took control of her body, possessed her, shoved her own consciousness aside like it belonged to someone else. She refused to speak the name she heard whispered in those dreams. Some names shouldn't be spoken aloud. In high school, she met a boy who claimed he could see things too. Someone sensitive, intuitive. Someone who looked at her like he already knew her story before she said a word. He told her something she never forgot. Something she still doesn't know if she believes. He said she had lived before. Said she died in Salem during the witch trials. Said she once had power, fire, and that she could get it back by relearning traditions she'd forgotten. She rolled her eyes at him then. But there was something strange, something undeniable. She had been obsessively drawing the same symbol for months, a pendant she'd never seen before, something she felt compelled to sketch again and again. When he saw it, his face changed. He recognized it. He said it belonged to her, to her past, to the life she lived before this one. She didn't know what to make of any of that. She still doesn't. But she couldn't ignore how much Wicca had always drawn her in, how natural it felt, how familiar. Back then, she'd done small spells, harmless things, protection, dreams, comfort. She never wanted power. She never wanted darkness. She just wanted peace. 2 years ago, that peace shattered. A friend told her he felt a presence around him, dark, heavy, suffocating. Without thinking, she did something reckless. She invited it onto herself, and she asked it to leave him alone. She didn't understand what she was doing, but it hurt her. That night, she saw her first apparition, an old man in an army uniform. Not speaking, but pushing thoughts at her, sharp, overwhelming thoughts that weren't hers. Stay away. Don't interfere. Or else. She brushed it off, told herself she imagined it, until her friend told her something chilling a year later. A year after she saw the old soldier, after she lay awake, convinced she'd imagined every detail of that uniform, her friend finally told her the truth. The house he'd been afraid of, the one where he felt that presence, had once belonged to an old veteran. And the man's uniform was still inside. The revelation didn't feel like a coincidence. It felt like confirmation. Sharp, direct, unforgiving. And it forced her to confront a truth she'd spent years trying to outrun. Whatever was happening to her wasn't random. It wasn't imagined. It wasn't a phase she'd grow out of. Something had marked her a long time ago, maybe during that coma, maybe before it. And it had been following her ever since. But that wasn't the beginning of the nightmare. It was only the moment she finally understood she wasn't imagining any of it. And the further she looked back, the more she realized her story had been building toward this point for years. She remembers being 13 and standing in the doorway of her bedroom, frozen by the suffocating weight of something waiting for her inside. She couldn't see it, but she could feel it, thick, cold, patient. Like it knew she had no one she could tell, no one who'd believe her, no one who would even listen long enough to understand her fear. She remembers how the apartment felt before they moved out, charged, tense, wrong. The way she'd stand outside the door each evening, gathering the courage to go in. The way lights flickered, floorboards groaned, and corners seemed to breathe on their own. There are certain kinds of hauntings that feel like a question, and there are others that feel like a warning. Hers felt like both, and she had tried to confront it more than once. First with the improvised Ouija board she scribbled onto notebook paper in a moment of equal parts frustration and curiosity. She didn't expect much. She didn't believe much would happen. And in that moment, nothing did. But hauntings don't always react immediately. Some spirits wait. Watch. Choose their moment with care. And sometimes the danger of reaching out isn't what answers. It's what you've unknowingly invited to listen. When her family moved to a new home 5 years ago, a quieter place, a place where she hoped the heaviness would finally lift, she allowed herself to believe she might be free of it. She told her parents what she'd experienced, hoping they'd understand. They didn't. Her parents were the kind of religious who believed God protected them, that spirits didn't bother them, that the supernatural kept its distance from people who prayed hard enough, believed hard enough, lived the right way. But haunting doesn't care about that. Never has. And almost immediately, the new house turned loud. Doors slammed in empty hallways. Furniture creaked under unseen weight. Her room shifted temperature on a dime. Cold, then warm, then cold again. Shadows flickered and darted away the moment she turned her head. And her dreams changed. They weren't simply unsettling anymore. They were violent. Her body no longer belonged to her. Her voice wasn't her own. Something else, the presence she refused to name, would reach for her, grip her mind, slide into her skin, and got so intense she couldn't sleep without someone beside her. She curled against her mother like a child, shaking, unable to face the presence in the dark, alone. But even then, even tucked into a place meant to be safe, something hovered near the edges of the room, waiting. Watching, testing the boundary she tried to build. And still, she tried to be rational, tried to be calm, tried to be skeptical. But skepticism has a way of breaking under pressure. She kept drawing the same pendant in her notebooks, over and over, without knowing why. She traced it absentmindedly during class, while studying, while talking on the phone. The symbol came from nowhere, yet felt oddly familiar. So when the boy at school, the one who knew things without being told, glanced at the page and went pale, something deep in her stomach twisted. His reaction wasn't theatrical. He looked stunned. "That's yours," he whispered, "from before." He said she had lived a life long ago during the Salem trials. Said she'd been a witch, burned or hanged or drowned, he didn't know. Said her power then had been fire. Said she still carried remnants of it now, and she should have laughed, should have brushed it off, and should have told him he was being dramatic, but she didn't. Because deep down, she wasn't laughing either. Deep down, the idea didn't feel as ridiculous as it should have. She'd always been drawn to Wicca, not the Hollywood version, not curses or revenge or theatrics. Real thing. Healing, protection, energy. She had done small spells for friends, harmless things that made her feel connected to something bigger. And a part of her wondered, had something recognized her? Had something followed her through lifetimes? Had something been waiting for her to remember? That question echoed louder when she encountered the old soldier. 2 years ago, when her friend confided in her that something dark was following him, she reacted without thinking. She told it, whatever it was, to leave him alone and come to her instead. She didn't realize what she had done. Not until that night, but not until she saw the apparition. He appeared beside her bed in full uniform, an older man whose presence filled the room like a gust of cold air. He didn't speak, but she felt him. Felt his fear. Felt his warning. Felt his anger that she had interfered. Like he was pressing thoughts into her mind with the force of a fist. She woke up trembling, convinced it was a dream, convinced it wasn't real, until a year later when her friend said, "The man who lived in that house was a veteran. His uniform is still there." There are moments that tie everything together, moments where the supernatural stops hiding behind shadows and metaphors and turns itself into a fact you can't ignore. For her, that was the moment the story snapped into place. The coma, the visions, the presence, the nightmares, the Ouija boards, the old soldier, the pendant she couldn't stop drawing. Everything she had tried to dismiss, avoid, minimize. It was all connected. Something had always been with her. and she was finally beginning to understand that the story wasn't finished, not even close. Some hauntings scream, others whisper, but the ones that stay with you, the ones that imprint themselves into the fabric of your life, tend to settle somewhere in between. They seep into the quiet moments, the unguarded seconds, the nights when you were exhausted and vulnerable and just trying to sleep. For her, the haunting didn't roar. It crept. It lived in the shadows of childhood, in the corners of new homes, in the stillness of late nights when the rest of the world slept. It drifted through dreams and pressed against her shoulders. It watched her from the edges of her vision. It waited patiently for her to stop pretending. It wasn't real. And by the time she reached adulthood, she wasn't just dealing with a single presence. She was dealing with a lifetime of them. There were nights she felt hands on her blankets, tugging gently as if something wanted her attention. Other nights, something pressed onto the foot of her bed. The distinct weight of a body sitting down, easing into the mattress with a slow, deliberate creak. She'd lie there frozen, unable to breathe, certain that if she dared open her eyes, she'd see someone standing over her. Someone who didn't belong to the world of the living. But the scariest part wasn't the physical sensations. It was the knowing. And the deep, unshakable understanding that whatever followed her knew her. Not just her fear, but her thoughts, her memories, her vulnerabilities. You don't gain that kind of recognition from a single encounter. That comes from years of proximity. And she was starting to realize she hadn't been alone for a very, very long time. She remembered the coma, the visions, the curses she screamed at God when she was far too young to know what those words meant. Some people believe children glimpse things adults can't, spirits, past lives, the liminal space between death and waking. And she had always wondered what she'd seen during those days. Her body refused to wake. What stood beside her bed, what whispered to her when she hovered between here and elsewhere. She wondered if the accident opened a door, and if that door never fully closed. When the old soldier appeared beside her bed, she tried to rationalize it. She tried to tell herself trauma can play tricks, stress can distort shadows, fear can create images from thin air. But there was something about the soldier, his uniform, the wrinkles on his face, the solemn weight of his presence, that felt too real, too detailed, too grounded. He wasn't a blur. He wasn't a dream. He was a person, a spirit. And he wasn't happy she had intervened in whatever had latched onto her friend. Stay away, his thoughts pressed into her mind. Do not call for what you do not understand. Do not try to save others from something you can't save yourself from. The warnings felt like they came from inside her own head, echoing, overlapping, impossible to silence. She woke gasping, drenched in cold sweat, convinced it couldn't be real. Until she learned it was. Until her friend told her the soldier had lived in that house. Until she learned the uniform still hung in a closet there. Until she realized she had described a man she'd never seen and never should have known. That was the moment she stopped doubting herself. And the moment the fear sank deeper, because if that was real, everything else was too. The nightmares, the shadows, the creaking bed, the cold touches, the pressure on her shoulders, the feeling that something followed her from one home to the next. She wasn't imagining any of it. And the presence she felt now wasn't the old soldier. It was something older, darker, more patient. Something she'd brushed against too many times to ignore. Something that had tested her boundaries since she was a child. Something that didn't care how exhausted she was or how much she begged for peace. There were nights she'd walk into her room and feel the energy shift instantly, as if someone had been waiting, watching, ready. There were nights she'd lie awake and feel a cold hand slide across her ankle, light, tentative, almost curious. Other nights, something pressed down on her chest hard enough to steal the breath from her lungs. She had moments where shadows seemed to stretch toward her like fingers. Moments where she heard footsteps in the hallway, even though everyone else was asleep. Moments where she'd hear her name whispered in a voice that wasn't her own. And the worst were the dreams. Dreams that didn't feel like dreams. Dreams where she wasn't in control of her body. Dreams where she felt something inside her, twisting, pushing, trying to take hold. Dreams of possession. Dreams she refused to describe in detail because saying them out loud made them too real. These weren't just nightmares of monsters or shadows or faceless figures. They were nightmares where she felt herself slipping away. Her thoughts, her voice, her sense of self, like something was trying to edge her out of her own skin. She began sleeping with the lights on, began avoiding her own bedroom, began clinging to anything that felt protective. Salt, prayers, crystals, anything anyone suggested might help. Her interest in Wicca grew, not out of fascination anymore, but survival. The rituals, the grounding, the protective circles, it was the only thing that made her feel even slightly safe. And she couldn't shake the thought her friend had planted in her years earlier. That she had lived before. That she had been a witch. That she had died for it. Whether or not she believed in past lives, she believed in the feeling of being pulled toward something, some old knowledge, some forgotten instinct. And that instinct told her she was in danger. Not from a ghost, not from a lingering spirit, but from something that had woven itself into her life through trauma, vulnerability, and fear. She didn't want power. She didn't want magic. She wanted quiet. But sometimes the things that follow you don't leave just because you ask them to. And she had spent years being polite to something that didn't deserve her politeness. The presence around her wasn't just strong, it was territorial, reactive, possessive, like something had marked her when she was young and never let go. And the older she got, the more she understood. This wasn't random. This wasn't coincidence. This wasn't a misinterpreted intuition. She had been carrying a haunting for nearly her entire life, one that wasn't finished with her, one that had been waiting for her to acknowledge it fully. And now that she finally had, it wasn't letting go. She wasn't telling her story to entertain anyone. She wasn't trying to convince skeptics or impress believers, and she wasn't weaving fiction. She was reaching out, asking for help, asking for someone, anyone to tell her she wasn't cursed or crazy or doomed to deal with this forever. Because behind every sentence she wrote, behind every detail she shared, there was one truth she could no longer deny. She wasn't alone, and she never had been.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.